express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so, so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And an Art on the Air program note. We are now pre-recording all new shows, so we are able to schedule guests at their convenience, and we plan on doing pre-recorded shows in the future, even after COVID-19 issue has passed. We've also reformatted Art on the Air, replacing the reading of a list of arts events with a 6-minute spotlight segment featuring local art and music events. Our long-form interview format now usually features 2 guests and has been expanded to include national and international guests. Thank you for your continued support of Art on the Air. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight Trish Hernandez from South Shore, Director of Marketing and Development for the South Shore Arts. And of course, she would like to talk about several things that's going on there. But first and foremost is the virtual Bozarth Mall, which is their 27th annual event called Bridge the Gap. Trish, welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Esther. I'm very happy to be here. Well, yes, we postponed our ball. It's usually the first Friday in June. And it raises about $225,000 for us. And so, of course, we had to postpone it to September 25th. But then we realized that we really needed to go virtual like so many others with the ball. So Bridge the Gap is just that. Bridging the gap, helping us with a financial gap that was created by not being able to have our Beaux-Arts ball in a traditional way. And also any of the other fundraising events and classes and everything that we do to generate revenue. So we have co-chairs. We have Dr. Rebecca Galante, Corey Heck, Amy Kufos, and Jenny Yalowitz. And it's an invitation to give. And you can give at a lot of different levels, a different bridge for each level. Of course, we have to make it somewhat fun. So you can be a Brooklyn Bridge at $5,000. You can be a DeSable Bridge, one of my favorites in Chicago, at $500. or you could be a 7-mile bridge down in the Keys, and that's just whatever you want. All donations are just greatly appreciated and welcomed, and all the donations can be given on our website, and that's SouthShoreArtsOnline.org. And it'll just walk you through everything. You hit the picture, click the picture, and it'll take you right to a giving page. But the main thing is to sustain the arts, to sustain our mission and what we're doing. So when we can all get back and meet and gather and do things somewhat like we did, we'll be ready for that. And also we're doing kids programs like in packets and giving them to teachers to take into the schoolrooms, because we can no longer go into the school and deliver any programming to the teachers. So we're trying to do all these things that still reach out to people. Lots of opportunities online too. So it's doing the best we can. We wanted to raise $60,000. I'm happy to say we've already gone over that. So of course, being a development director, our new goal is $80,000, and I'm hoping that we can reach that by September 25th with help, a little help from all of our friends out there. We are having a Zoom party.
Excellent. Is that for the ball, or is that?
Yeah, for the ball. It is on September 25th when we were originally going to have it. It's at 6 o'clock to 6:30. And we're going to have a toast to thank people who contributed. And we will have a little bit of programming, talk about what we're doing, and celebrate the arts and kind of announce our results. So it's just a little nice way to do closure. It's not going to be like an actual event, more like an update and for some closure and fun. We all like some fun these days.
That's true. So, Tricia, how much in advance is South Shore Arts planning a virtual future for events? Do you have a calendar going X amount of events online, exhibits and otherwise? Can you give us sort of a hint as to what's happening?
Sure. Well, our events that we have scheduled in the future right now, we're planning on doing a combination of both. We're planning on being able to social distance and monitor the amount of people that visit the gallery at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts. So coming up, we have Barbara Meeker, and she is a celebrated area artist and big South Shore Arts supporter. She's taught art or been an educator in Northwest Indiana for like 60 years. So very, very well known, and we're doing a career retrospective for her, and that opens September 25th. In the gallery, there will be some representation online too. And what's cool about Barbara is she is going to donate some proceeds from any artwork that is sold during this particular exhibit to South Shore Arts and Hospice of the Calumet area. So that's a really nice thing that she is doing, and her work is very celebrated and very well known. She's, like I said, been a teacher, an educator, and just a very important part of the arts community for 60 years. So we've got that going on, and then we roll right into the Salon Show, which started South Shore Arts in 1936.
Yeah, everybody looks forward to that.
And I've been privileged to be in that, Trish. Well, you have just a few more seconds. Give us the website once more again real quick here for the Beaux-Arts Ball, the Bridge the Gap.
Sure. It is SouthShoreArtsOnline.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's Tricia Hernandez from South Shore Arts, Director of Marketing and Development. Thanks for being on our spotlight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air, Lisa Snyderman, otherwise known as Aidy. She's an award-winning, quirky folk pop artist, playwright, author, filmmaker, and she has many other things. And she uses her records to have a fun-filled fantasy on musicals and audiobooks. She also had a debilitating chronic illness, which we'll talk about later, in 2008. And she brought that to it and turned that into an opportunity. So, Lisa, we'd like to welcome you to Art on the Air.
Well, thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Welcome.
Tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got from where you were, like where you grew up, where you went to school, to where you are now.
Oh, wow. That covers a lot of territory. And let's start with, I was raised in Michigan and then Arizona and then California. So most of my upbringing was California. I would say that in terms of my dramatic arts and, you know, into art, I've always been creative. You know, I remember drama and in high school, you know, musicals and things like that. But I actually didn't put my finger, you know, into the songwriter pot until I was an adult. And so I had a transition in my life and I was going through a, you know, re-identity or identifying, you know, who I was again at that point. And I discovered music. And so that was in 2001 that transition happened. So from around 2002 on. And in 2006, I started Aidy. And Aidy is an artist project. The name means muse in Greek. And I wanted affiliation with inspiration. And what better way to remember to be inspired and to inspire than to have affinity with the muse, right? So that was first. And then Aidy as a project has gone through so many different transformations over and iterations over the time. So it's what, 2020. So from 2006, it was a duo. It was a band. I've put out, I think at this point, 9 albums, including one that I released August 31st. So it's gone through all kinds of things. But what has been a consistent thing throughout my career, I would say, is this theme of muse has actually really come up time and time again, both in my career and also in my life, as you'll see. So I guess the way to think about me and my art is that in a parallel track, as you mentioned, I'm an artist who lives with chronic illness, and I've lived with chronic illness for about 12 years. And that's taken a lot of different turns, I guess. It's been very twisty, you know, and it's been a roller coaster. And the best way to describe it is that I have a progressive muscle weakness disease called dermatomyositis. And if left untreated, it would, you know, render me completely debilitated. And the worst of my illness was in 2010 when I was hospitalized due to a flare of my illness. And was in the hospital for about a month, and I couldn't move any of my muscles. So I had to go through complete rehab, relearning how to stand, how to walk, how to sit, and then how to sing and play again. And so that journey through that, I turned compulsively, if you might say, obsessively to music and to art to help me express and to heal. And so that journey has, you know, taken different places. When I was no longer able to go tour anymore, for example, I started writing musicals. As you mentioned, I write and create fantasy musicals, and I record them onto audiobooks. So imagine like a radio show, a full radio show that has character voices and dialogue and sound effects and sound design. And it's, you know, very produced. So I did that and then adapted those to theater stage plays. That's one of my hats. And as you mentioned, I'm also a author, filmmaker, besides being a playwright and a singer-songwriter. So, you know, we can go into so many of these different areas.
Well, I have a question, actually. So what music helped you get through those first stages of your illness, especially when you were in the hospital? What music did you gravitate toward?
So at that point in the hospital, I have to admit, it wasn't a time for an inspiring, creative moment. So I like to think of my journey as going from surviving to thriving. And that was a survival stage. That was the place where you do everything you can to, at that point, surrender to what was happening. You don't have any control over what's happening at the hospital.
I know.
You know, everything is so surreal. Oh, you mean like through rehab? Is that what you mean? What did
well,
I turn
kind of
to?
Like when I was in the hospital, I kept headphones on around 24 hours a day, day after day after day after day, listening to Stephen Halpern's music for
I
healing.
See, yeah.
So I was wondering if there was anything during that time when you couldn't be producing music, whether somebody else's music
You know what? I'm going to speak to that more of a modern day. So I've been receiving infusions, monthly infusions, 5 days each month from August 2019 through March of 20 when I opted to stop because of COVID. And during that time, I did have those moments where I turned to, in this case, her name is Anne Lacater, and I was listening to Meditations on Flute. Mm-hmm. And it's a particular one that every single infusion I wanted and needed to be in the right head and heart space in order to receive my infusion. And her flute music, and I've told her this so she knows, has that catalyst or spark or whatever it is to put me in that calm space, along with meditation. So I discovered a woman, you'll hear as we talk, I spent the last year of my life creating a summit for other people to help others that have chronic illness thrive. And one of the people that I interviewed was a spiritual teacher and healer. And her music is her meditation is something that I have listened to. It's intuitive healing, and the same thing with all my infusions. And so it was such a beautiful experience, since I'd been listening at these infusions, to be able to actually talk to this woman and have that experience. So yes, I know what you're going through. But when I was going through this in 2010, that wasn't my experience. Honestly, I couldn't focus on anything. And so I really had a hard time even having headphones and bringing in music.
You know, I'd like to sample some of the music you had prior to your new release, which we'll talk about there, The Grieving Project. But it's from what, A Perfect Day? Set that up for us, what that's about a little bit.
Absolutely. So this was kind of interesting because as I've sort of set up my journey, I went kind of directly from the diagnosis and all that stuff, and just plunge myself into creativity. And that's important, and you'll kind of understand why in a little bit. But the point being is that I really kind of turned and tuned out the darkness by escaping into fantasy, by, you know, becoming A.E.D. the Muse and hiding behind, as I learned later, my artist persona. And this Perfect Day was actually one where it was inspired by a fan who reached out to me in 2011, and he also has a debilitating muscle disease, a different one than I did. But he was on ventilation, and the only time he could leave his house was to go to the hospital. But despite this, he was a very active, he loved ships and ship spotting, and his wife would very kindly go take pictures for him and bring back pictures of ships. And then he would post or, you know, do things with these pictures. And at the same time, he was a webmaster for an orchestra, and he loved promoting artists. And the reason I bring this up is he shared this with me, and I was just instantly inspired to write the song from his lens called Perfect Day. But what was so interesting is after writing this, I soon learned that it wasn't just about him. I wasn't just lamenting his journey. I was lamenting my own, because it was the first time in song that I allowed myself to express what I was feeling and going through.
And the cut we're listening to is called?
It's Perfect Day, Fragments of the Muse.
Okay, well, we're going to listen to that right now from A.E.D., otherwise known as Lisa Snyderman.
I feel so alive.
And that was Perfect Day from Skeletons of the Muse, AOD, Lisa Steiderman. And that was a beautiful, one of her previous works that she's done. Lisa, that was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. So, Lisa, when did you feel you wanted to take this bigger? And how did, I'm trying to find out how the Grieving Project came about and how you named it and the whole history behind that.
Yeah, so I'll back up a little bit and say that I was saying that my story is kind of one going from surviving to thriving. So at some point, I think it was around 2016, I realized that I was yearning for something bigger, to be part of something bigger, not just to express for myself and share, but to use my gifts, perhaps, that, you know, living with a chronic illness, that I could help inspire other people. And I had this want to share my story. So I created and I wrote my memoir in 2017 or so. And then I had a whole process of collaborating with a community of other artists that were creating to heal. And in this journey, it really kind of solidified for me that I wanted to help others that were living with chronic illness. So for the past year, as I was mentioning, I created a summit and I interviewed, I think it was 60 different experts that all had some connection to chronic illness community. And I shared that from July 10th through 24th and had 1,800 participants. So that was a really beautiful thing because, you know, especially during COVID right now, it made me realize, you know, that people are longing for this want for connection and community and creating and, you know, and new ways, of course, to thrive. And so I mentioned this as background because coming out of the summit, I'll say this, that in all of my time, I've said I've lived with a chronic illness for 12 years. Well, I realized recently that through all this time, through musicals, through creating albums, writing my memoir, even creating the summit, I forgot to grieve. And that's a big statement because, you know, maybe I didn't even acknowledge or realize I needed to grieve an illness because I wasn't losing someone, except that I realized that in truth I was, because I had lost me. And I wasn't the same person that I was before my disease took my independence. And as a result of all of this, I realized that I had an opportunity, because if I was feeling this way, perhaps others also, you know, had forgotten to grieve, so to speak. And I had an opportunity to create the way I do, which is through music and art, a way that people could access their feelings and loss around illness, transformations, and unexpected changes. And I have a little story around this, which is that when I was in the hospital getting an infusion back in, I think, December, one of the nurses watched a film that I had made called Keep Shining, and it shares my story and struggle with disability and also my recovery. And so around that, the nurse was able to tell me that through watching this, patients were able to access parts of themselves that they might not have been able to, and that it was because of the words and music. And so it really gave me this idea that I raised with my producer to do something that at that point I didn't have a name for. I just called it Thrive. And I had an idea to have 14 stages, thinking about the 7 stages of grief that we might know from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross adapted. And then I wanted to come up, because of all of my interviews with experts and interviews with artists, I wanted to come up with 7 new stages of thriving. And that, in essence, became the Grieving Project. And what it is, it's an inventive, unique, spoken word audiobook. And the entire audiobook, all 22 tracks, is spoken over musical compositions. And I also like to think of it as a moving journey through 14 stages of grieving and thriving, and also a roadmap to our hearts. And in the story, 4 different people with 4 different chronic illnesses, they plunge through these 14 stages through a melding of words and an emotional orchestra. And so, you know, honestly, it didn't start out to be something that that I expected would have a cross reference or cross culture. How do I put this? When I first started it was sound recording. And what was so beautiful beautiful about this is by the end of the project, it actually crossed disciplines. So I have the artist, for example, who created the cover, had actually, you're talking about visual art, we were talking earlier. The artist who created this cover created 14 individual paintings, and she shrunk each of these in order to put the elements onto her cover. And I chose this because you'll have to see the cover now, that it has spirals and it has a cacophony and it has very messy and it's expressive. And I thought grieving is like this, that it's not linear. It's not something, you know, that we can go through really stage by stage necessarily. It's a roller coaster. You know, grief is not something that we can go through and finish. We always come back to it.
Oh, I was going to say, why don't we listen to one of the clips from that? I think you sent us the one that says, and it's not the complete thing, Tell Me What to Eat. So that is from her new audiobook, The Grieving Project, Moving a Journey, 14 Stages of Grieving and Thriving.
So I think I'm paleo, but with rice and potatoes and red wine and chocolate.
There's paleo and keto, anti-inflammatory AIP, Mediterranean, vegetarian, Candida Whole30, gluten-free. And some say eat more fat, and some say eat more meat. So how come it's impossible to know just what to eat?
If I want to cut out carbs, keto is a fit for me. If I want to heal my gut, I should sure try AIP. But if I can't eat cheese or wheat, maybe paleo's the key.
So why is it so friggin' hard to find something to eat? Too many choices, too many decisions. Everywhere I look, there's another book, another scheme.
Another scheme.
Too many choices, too many selections.
Can't somebody just tell me what to eat?
Avoid sugar, avoid alcohol, corn syrup, and caffeine. Avoid grains, legumes, dairy, GMOs, nightshades. Avoid processed foods, additives, trans fats, corn, and soy. And eggs and nuts and seeds. And after that, what's left to eat?
Vegetables. Eat lots of vegetables. Eat the rainbow.
How much is too much fruit?
What if I can't stand fish?
So is there a diet just for people with MS?
According to this, I'm a lacto-ovo-vegetarian. Maybe I should go vegan.
So what do they call someone who is gluten, dairy, sugar, meat-free, but eats fish?
High maintenance. Too many choices. Too many decisions. Everywhere I look, there's another book, another scheme.
Another scheme!
Can't somebody just tell me what to
legumes
eat?
Legumes and fruits and nuts and seeds and eggs and fish and grains. Can eat them all if I recall, if I go Mediterranean. But oh, good God, this really hurts my brain. Oh, here's yet another way, another diet, another craze. Completely contradicting what the last one just conveyed.
And now bad fats are out, and good fats are so in. But how much coconut and avocado can you really binge?
And that is Tell Me What to Eat from the Grieving Project, Moving to Journey. And that just was released on August 31st, AOD, otherwise known as Lisa Snyderman.
Oh, indeed. So I want to know, Lisa, did you compose all the music or did you collaborate with other artists?
So this is definitely a collaboration with my producer and a big team as far as everybody who made it come to life. But the music itself is my producer. He composed all of the music. I composed all of what you're hearing in the spoken word.
Where can they find out? How can they hook up with you? What your websites are? And I think you have a specific one for things. So how can they find out about Lisa Snyderman, AOD?
They can find out about me and the Grieving Project in the same place, actually, alightinthedarkness.info. And it's / the Grieving Project with dashes. I will give it to you so you guys can include it. You can also find me at aedemuse.com, aoedemuse.com. And then right now, the Grieving Project is available on Audible, Amazon, and other digital retailers. So you can do maybe a keyword search for it.
So real quickly, give us your websites, Lisa. Any final thoughts here for our audience?
Final thoughts. Well, I would like to say that the Grieving Project is an invitation to you, to an empowerment to both grieve your losses, transformation, and unexpected changes, and to be able to thrive. So I hope if you listen, that is what inspires you to do. And tell everybody to remember to keep shining.
Thank you. That's Lisa Steinerman, otherwise known AED. She's here on Art in the Air. We appreciate you coming on, talking about a grieving project, moving the journey through the 14 stages of grieving and thriving. Thanks again.
And I just want to thank you, too.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Well, we'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air, Josh McLean. He's a renowned cellist, composer, artist, filmmaker. He's based in Oakland, California, but he's from Michigan City. Has a unique cello playing style. But along with him is his wonderful companion there, Rosario San Martino. She's a registered sonic movement therapist. She has her PhD in psychology. She has a special thing. She's born in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Welcome to Art on the Air.
Hello.
Thank you.
Well, aloha.
Well, Josh, first we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about how you got from where you were to where you are now. We know you started in Michigan City, but a little bit about your education, background, and everything like that.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you the real quick rundown. I'm actually from Westville originally, which is just a straight shot down county line to Michigan City. But I lived in Michigan City for a few years just before I moved out to the Bay Area, California. And so I was actually bartending at Shoreline Brewery there for 2.5 years from 2010 to 2012. And I was saving up money to move out to California. I bought an old Volvo station wagon and packed it up and drove across the country. Just trying to be as cliche as possible. and so I landed in the Bay Area in 2012. I kind of moved out here to pursue my music, which more or less didn't really happen until recently. I spent a lot of time working different jobs, and I got kind of sucked into the tech industry, where I was working at a crowdfunding company called Indiegogo for 3 years, which was a blessing and a curse. One, it kind of burnt me out to the point where I'm like, I don't want to work at a desk anymore. And so I left that job in 2016 to release this album that I just recorded in 2018. And the good thing about having worked in the tech industry is that I gained the tools and resources to then take into my music in terms of business marketing, creative content production. And so all of that has been really useful in my ability to now exist as a working artist. And so it's all kind of part of the story, right? I moved out here to pursue music, and then 8 years later, I feel like I'm finally actually doing it. But all the things that happened in the middle happened for a reason, and I'm glad that they did. But the coolest part about all that is I met my wife here in California. And it's funny because I'm from Indiana, which is pretty far from California, and she's from Buenos Aires, which is pretty far from California. And somehow a guy who grew up in Westville got to marry this beautiful woman from Argentina, and they met in California. And so it's
Where did you meet? How? Where?
We met through a friend, from two friends that we have in common. Beppe and Monica are their names.
Monica.
Yeah, Monica. He was living with Monica. They were
roommates,
and I was roommate with this guy called Beppe, and they introduced.
Monica was the first musician I started playing with when I moved into California, and I knew her because her band used to perform at the Eggcorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan, and so I know Dave Fink very well, who was the owner of the Eggcorn at the time, and so he introduced Monica and I, and then I played one show with her early in my time in California, and then within a year I was renting a little room from her in the basement, and I stayed there for 4 years until Rosario and I moved together.
Hey, Rosario, tell us a little bit about your background, your journey from Buenos Aires to the United States.
Yeah, I didn't drive here.
no old Volvo for you.
I'm sorry if I disappoint you. Yeah, it was a long and interesting journey. I'm a psychologist. I studied psychology in Buenos Aires first, but at the same time, I always loved the arts. So I was doing theater and singing and all kinds of things. And when I started to develop my practice as a psychologist, I realized that I wanted to be an artist. So I started to find ways in which I could combine psychology and art. And in that time, like how many years ago, like 20 years ago, there wasn't much in Buenos Aires, anything like around art therapy or anything like that. So I went to Spain. I lived in Barcelona for a year studying art therapy and finding, you know, that way to bring these two loves together, you know, love for human, you know, healing, and but also wanted to do it from a place that made me feel alive and happy, you know, and that's where the arts came in. So I studied in Barcelona, and then life brought me into Sonoma County, where I studied expressive arts for 2 years. And then I moved into San Francisco, where I studied at Tamalpais Institute with this amazing two women, Anna Halprin and Daria Halprin, which are the pioneers of dance and expressive arts for healing. And I ended staying here and working in their institute. I fell in love with this man here, and here I am.
So when you said you were interested in the arts, was it more dance or was it visual as well?
Well, it was everything. You know, it was just the feeling of connecting with, you know, with music, with colors, with textures, just the art making, you know, for me it's been always something that I really enjoyed it. So when I started working, remember my first internship in Buenos Aires was in a psychiatric hospital, you know, with these men who were suffering from schizophrenia, and some of them were at the hospital for 10 years. And I was given the task to help them to reintegrate back into, you know, into society, coming back from the hospital. And I had there wasn't anything that I would do that would interest them. You know, I was trying to talk about things and, you know, and helping them to develop skills, blah. And it wasn't until I started to bring the arts just out of desperation and because I loved, you know, bringing music and bringing drawing, and that I started to realize how these men were starting to bring, you know, there's something spark in their eyes, you know, and life in their bodies, and just like just by listening to music, by, you know, doing some theater, singing together, and I just realized how amazing how the arts can really help to bring the heart back to ourselves, you know, the soul back into the body. So that's when I realized that I wanted to, you know, the way that I wanted to engage with psychology was in a way that, you know, that was also involving the soul, and that's, for me, is the arts.
Yeah. Now, I see your doctoral dissertation was on somatics and expressive arts and addressing trauma and recovery. So you've incorporated what you just talked about into your actual, do you have a practice, so to speak?
Yeah, exactly. So when I came to California, you know, just looking for an alternative way, as I was saying, to engage with psychology, and I, you know, I trained in expressive arts and movement. And then I went to pursue my PhD in depth psychology and somatic studies, which was in a way bringing together these two loves, you know, reclaiming my psychology self and the artist and bring them together. So I'm very interested in how to heal trauma, psychological trauma, and the use of the arts and the inclusion of the body and movement, you know, to help the recovery process and to help the healing process.
Yes, because sometimes people can't talk, but they'd be happy to draw or to move. So
absolutely, and sometimes talking brings us back, you know, all memories in the body, and it's re-traumatizing. So, but, you know, the trauma happens in the body, you know. So if we don't address the body and we just talk about it and address the mind, there are certain changes that cannot happen, you know, because there's still the wound still in the body, you know.
It's true, because our mind can trick ourselves as well. So yeah.
Being able to, as you said, instead of talk, you know, I can move, I can paint, I can create a piece of poetry. So I'm processing, you know, difficult, you know, things in my life without having to think about it. You know, my thinking could be very limited.
Very much so. A lot of people are gardening right now for that reason too. So during the pandemic,
we did plenty of that also.
It's very therapeutic.
Josh, before we go ahead and get on to your music, how is the pandemic affected by both of you in terms of your personal life and professional life?
Yeah, I mean, we recognize the pandemic as this really big thing that has affected the whole world and turned a lot of people's lives upside down. And so we totally recognize that. For us, it's been kind of this silver lining, this blessing in disguise. I had been frantically looking. So we live in the Bay Area, which is like the most expensive place in the entire country. It's absurd. And so I was frantically looking for a job back in tech. I was so desperate. I was like, oh, I'll get back into tech. And Rosario was trying to find work online at another university. And just, we were just kind of like all over the place. And then this happened and we sort of started to understand what was actually important to us. And it was that we are living our lives as creatives and artists, and also that we can do it from anywhere in the world. And so we brought our work online almost immediately. Within a week or so of the pandemic, we both said, well, we have to start streaming. And so we turned our living room into more or less a television studio. We got a bunch of really cool gear, cameras, the wireless microphones. And we just started streaming. I started doing a show twice a week called Morning Cello. It was a free show based on sort of mindfulness, music, and I just told some stories. And so I was trying to give people an opportunity to have like one time during the day, twice a week, to be able to disconnect from the crazy world that was happening and just, I was trying to help people relieve stress during the pandemic. And I wouldn't have done that if this hadn't happened. And now I'm about to release another album, and it wouldn't have happened without the pandemic. And so I know for me that's kind of what has happened in Rosario.
And all the time with your son now.
Yeah.
So precious.
Yeah.
Amazing. The best.
Yeah. So I think in terms of how it has affected us, it's made us a much stronger family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Well, Josh, you had a 2018 album called Coming Home, and we'd like to hear a little bit about that, and we'll get back to like how they can listen to your show and the web. So give us a little background on that album and that song.
Yeah, so the whole album is based on the archetype of the hero's journey, sort of this supernatural journey that one may embark on, you know, the hero embarks on, to kind of find answers or to reclaim the self, that there's a piece of you that has been missing or damaged, and it's the answers lie in the shadow and the darkness, and so you have to go down into the underworld, into the shadows, to reclaim that part of yourself and do battle, and you typically experience a spiritual death and a rebirth. And so that's kind of what that album is about, is that arc of the hero's journey. And so the song at the very end of the album is called Coming Home. And it's kind of about this idea that, actually I've been thinking about a lot lately because I'm working with a friend of mine who's a teacher, that there's nothing wrong with us. We have this essence that is true. And then we have all these life experiences that kind of make us who we are. And it's kind of trying to get back to that essence, coming back to who you've always been. You just have to remember. And so that's what the final song on that album is called, Coming Home. It's just coming back to who you've always been.
Well, let's take a listen to that. This is Joshua McLean on the album Coming Home, released in 2018. And the title track at the end, Coming Home.
Thank you.
And that was Joshua McLean on his 2018 release, Coming Home, and that was Coming Home. Excellent, Josh. That was beautiful.
Yeah, so gorgeous. That album still, no matter, I've listened to it probably 500 times, literally 500 times, maybe more.
I believe.
And it still makes me cry in certain areas. The music is just so emotional. It truly is a journey. Thank you for it.
No, thank you.
So both of you together are working on workshops that mm-hmm. combine both of your talents. Would you like to maybe tell us about them, both of you?
Absolutely. As you said, his music... so emotional. It's heart opening. And so I've been, you know, so I would say combined psychology and the arts. And so I do a lot of workshops where I get people, you know, and exploring different themes, you know, with movement, with the arts. And we started to collaborate together. And it's been amazing bringing the live cello and bringing Josh into these workshops and just realizing how the live music and the way that he follows people when they're moving helps people to open up their hearts in ways that, yes.
No. So can you describe maybe what happens in these workshops?
Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, we're working on the theme of... opening and closing in life, you know, the metaphor. So I would work with a rib cage and breath and guide people into this, you know, breath explorations, and the cello comes in with music. So we're working in movements of opening and movements of closing physically, and then we bring a metaphor. What do I want or need to open or close in my life right now? Mm-hmm. And people move to those questions in a way that is very much rooted in their physical experience, which is rooted into their emotions, and then bring some narrative and story. And Josh, with his cello, he accompanies the movement and helps people to process it with the music. So, and then after that, they might do a drawing about the experience and then reflect about these questions and they share with one another. So it's been really beautiful and inspiring to work together and realizing how our work really, you know, complement. It's incredible. And now we have a new idea coming that we're waiting a little bit to put it out, which is a new workshop that we're developing together, which is called the Somatic Sound Journey.
Ooh. Wow. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, so the workshops we've done so far have a very specific purpose, and they're also a little bit longer, too. Sometimes they're a full day. Mm-hmm. And so they'll go through what ends up being like a sampling of the kind of work that Rosario does at the Tamalpa Institute, which is the life art process. And so we're trying to create more of like an hour and a half to 2 hour experience that is for processing mm-hmm. emotions, basically processing trauma, and having them go through kind of this arc of the hero's journey themselves. And so, whereas in the other workshops, I kind of just follow Rosario, I'll have more, the somatic sound journey, I'll more or less have my set already planned. And Rosario may or maybe following the music more.
Well, and the first theme that we're thinking and exploring is the theme of the journey.
Yeah.
With his first album, you know, because it has already, it's kind of a myth, you know, or a narrative, you know, that it's the myth of the hero's journey. But how do I personally, you know, how that story relates to my life right now? Where I am, where am I in the journey? So following, you know, and using the body and different body parts to, you know, to journey through the music, you know, the legs and feet embarking, you know, in this journey, and the, you know, and the head, you know, just like, so going, using the body to kind of journey through the music and taking people into processing and relating to this larger myth.
I know, because that's like his superpower with coming home, is that yeah. you do feel it that way. Like, even without your intro and the story behind it, your body does that naturally when you listen to it. I mean, yeah. you just feel it all. So yeah. it's like such a powerful album, Josh.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
Josh, when is the planned release for this upcoming album?
Yeah, so I'll be releasing a new album probably early next year. But I'll be starting pre-orders or crowdfunding for the album later in September.
Okay. Well, why don't you give us both of you websites of how we can find you. Josh?
Sure. JoshuaMclain.net, MCCLAIN.
Okay. Rosario?
RosarioSanMartino.com. Can you?
Yeah. Rosario, RosarioSanMartino, Sanmartino, SammartinO.
Very good.
Not complicated at all. I asked him to do it so you don't have my accents on top of it.
But we love your accent. It's beautiful. It, you know.
I know, we love your accent.
Thank you.
Makes me think of, you know, Evita, you know. Anyway, Josh McLean, cellist in San Francisco, along with Rosario Sanmartino, we appreciate you being on Art in the Air, and thank you so much for sharing with our audience.
No problem.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And we'd like to thank our guests today for being on Art in the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president, radio operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther, Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.